Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. When you fall in love with someone from another country, you can marry them so they can come to the United States. Well, if you're a man and a woman. But not if you're gay or lesbian. Because of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. It was enacted into law in 1996 by President Clinton and states that marriage is between a man and a woman. 16 years later, six states and the District of Columbia recognize same-sex marriage. But DOMA still is what stands in the way of federal recognition of same-sex marriage. In May of this year, DOMA was declared unconstitutional by the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston in an historic ruling. And there are other signs of change. In this program, we'll take a look at the positive signs as well as the harm this discriminatory policy has caused for approximately 36,000 same-sex couples, and we'll look forward to how the situation may change after the presidential election this fall. Scary. At the forefront of the fight for immigration benefits for same-sex couples is my first guest, attorney Levy Soloway from Long Island, New York, joining us by phone. Levy, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you, Marilyn.
It's good to have you here. And in the studio with me, author Judy Rickard, whose book, Torn Apart, United by Love, Divided by Law, chronicles 20 same-sex couples whose lives have been torn apart by a senseless policy of discrimination. Judy, welcome back to Out in the Bay.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Now, let's start with the impact the policy has had on same-sex couples that are binational, meaning one of them is not a U.S. citizen. Judy, what's the human cost of these policies been so far?
Well, the human cost can be as simple as your family being separated, and it can also include losing your career, losing the rest of your family, extra expenses.
Hiding.
Stress. Hiding,
deceiving,
health problems,
being in the closet, in that sense,
mm-hmm.
another
breaking
kind
up.
Of closet, mm-hmm. breaking up, the stress mm-hmm. on a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and what that does when
yeah.
you're not able to be together,
right, and not being your real self. You know, even if you think you have everything taken care of, at least temporarily, you're going to be suffering in some way or another, financially, mentally, you know, health wise.
And it's DOMA that stands in the way, right, Levy?
Right. So, so Judy and Karen, you know, are an example of one of these 36,000 couples who are, you know, Judy and Karen are married, and the federal government should permit Judy to sponsor Karen for a green card, and this problem should not be an obstacle for them as they, you know, are in their retirement and trying to enjoy their, as they call it, their golden years. And, you know, they're married just like any other couple is married, and yet the federal government not only doesn't recognize their marriage, but doesn't do anything to protect them from being separated.
Right.
Well, and before DOMA, what was it like? Could you have gotten a green card and sponsored someone?
No. Well, remember that before DOMA, which means before 1996,
right.
there also were no jurisdictions in the world where gay and lesbian couples could marry. So the immigration law, which limits the kinds of relatives that you can sponsor to spouses and parents and children
right, family.
And siblings, didn't have any provision for partners. In some countries, like Canada and the UK and Australia and many others, there are provisions for partners. So there was never a solution to this problem. But what changed was that gay and lesbian couples beginning, particularly after Massachusetts became the first state in 2004, gay and lesbian couples started marrying, and therefore binational couples started marrying. And for the first time, they had everything that they needed to make use of our family unification provisions of the immigration law. And now DOMA was in the way. So really, Congress threw up a new barrier in 1996. And it had these unintended consequences.
Well, have the state laws allowing same-sex marriage? We've got six states and the District of Columbia. How has that affected the federal government's position? Has it put more pressure on the feds?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's changed the dynamic.
Hey, we're married. What do you mean we're not married, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. It's changed the dynamic because it's also pitted the federal government against states and local governments, like in San Francisco, where city councils and mayors and governors have recognize that their own citizens are being discriminated against by the federal government, while they're actively, you know, trying to remedy it to the extent that they can at the local level. And increasingly, you hear these are the voices that are trying to pressure the administration to come up with solutions One solution, obviously, is not defending the Defense of Marriage Act in court and trying to hasten its demise in court. But that's still some time away.
But that's what the Obama administration has not been defending DOMA, right?
Well, they've not defended it in court. They're still enforcing it. And what elected officials from the state and local level, all the way to Congress, what elected officials have been saying to the administration is that as you feel this is an unconstitutional law and you're not going into court to defend it anymore, in terms of enforcement of it, you can make choices about how you enforce it. And with respect to green card cases, you should take those green card cases and put them on hold until such time as they can be approved.
Well, let's look at the good news. The good news on June 19th, just a few weeks ago, you won an important victory. The Board of Immigration Appeals refuses to affirm denials of green card petitions filed by four gay couples. Now, break it down in the legalese. What does that mean? It refuses to affirm denials.
So what happened was the Immigration Service did what it typically does when a gay couple tries to get a green card. They just simply send a letter denying it based on the Defense of Marriage Act. You're a same-sex couple. We have to kick this case out. Denied. And we decided to appeal the cases to an appellate board that reviews decisions made by the Immigration Service. It's called the Board of Immigration Appeals. It's part of the Department of Justice, and it answers to the Attorney General. And we made the argument that as much as the Attorney General is going around in federal courts arguing that the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, they should not just rubber stamp these decisions. They should either put the cases on hold or require that the Immigration Service do full fact-finding, interview these couples, determine that their marriages are real marriages and that they should be eligible for green cards except for DOMA, and put that all in writing so that when DOMA is removed from the law books, the couples will have no obstacles remaining, and then the green cards can be issued. And the Board of Immigration Appeals decided to do that. It was quite unusual move, but they decided, to tell immigration, we're not accepting your denials. You've got to take these cases back and fully adjudicate them. Treat these couples as you would treat any other couple, and put in writing your findings of eligibility. And specifically the finding that the Defense of Marriage Act is the only obstacle remaining.
And now,
by kicking that back, it keeps those cases alive.
Right.
And it also forces the Immigration Service to treat the couples with dignity and respect and to process them like they would process any other case.
Now, this is something this is your case, right?
Right. These four cases they're four couples that I represent. They're part of a larger group of several dozen couples that include Judy and Karen that have been participating in our project to file these green card cases and to pressure the administrative agencies that handle them, and there are several, to do the best that they can do for gay and lesbian couples, but not just deny them outright, but to give them full review and to hold on to them, because we anticipate that the Defense of Marriage Act will not be with us for much longer. We want to make sure that all LGBT families are protected in the meantime.
That you pave the way for once that changes, that the way is paved already.
Correct.
You're setting the stage for that to happen, it sounds like. And it's also, I'm talking with Levy Soloway, who's leading the immigration fight for same-sex binational couples, and Judy Rickard, the author of Torn Apart, a book about binational same-sex couples facing discrimination. Here on Out in the Bay, I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining us. It's interesting, Levy, how you've found ways in. This is what I'm sort of getting from what you're saying about this Board of Immigration Appeals decision on the 19th of June, that you're finding ways, I wouldn't call them loopholes, but you're finding ways to persuade and to shift things. How do you approach that? I mean, when does this occur to you? In your dreams, in your sleep? I mean, you get this inspiration on riding the subway? I mean, how does this work for you? How do you come up with this?
It's interesting that you ask that, because 2 years ago, I was actually on vacation with my family when the Defense of Marriage Act was struck down by the first federal court. So there have been six decisions since. All of them have struck down the Defense of Marriage Act.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me that really we were at a point where we needed to hold the government accountable if it was going to discriminate. And it was before the Obama administration changed its position and stopped defending the law in court. It was the summer of 2010, and I really felt that if couples started to tell their stories and didn't take no for an answer, but insisted on holding, in this case, the Immigration Service accountable, requiring the Immigration Service to actually put in writing that it was going to discriminate against them solely because they were gay, that we could begin a conversation, if you will, a dialogue with the government and offer solutions, offer ways to stop families being torn apart. We were very successful in the deportation context, and there were several high-profile cases involving lesbian and gay couples that would have been torn apart by a deportation, and the Obama administration stepped in and stopped that from happening. And now we're making the same argument. You believe this law is unconstitutional. You believe also that you have to continue to enforce it, and so therefore you can't approve the cases at this time. But you have a third way, and the third way is to treat each couple with dignity and respect, to treat them like every other couple, and to withhold a final decision on their case if it cannot be approved, and put it down in writing that the only reason it's not being approved is the Defense of Marriage Act, and prepare for what I call the post-DOMA universe, the post-Defense of Marriage Act universe, where we're all equal under the law.
So you're trying, this is a brilliant strategy, and it's working. Look at what happened a few weeks ago. You're trying to get them to postpone the punitive decisions, from making punitive decisions here, and to just kind of stall the process until the Supreme Court decides when to look at DOMA. Can you tell me more about that right now? When you think they might? It's been moved up in the calendar from what Judy just told me before the show started. And I'm wondering, you feel pretty confident that it's going to be declared unconstitutional because of these six other cases, right, Levy?
Right. I mean, the cases that are on their way to the Supreme Court, and that will it's almost certain that the Supreme Court will take up this issue in the next term. The cases, particularly the case that you referenced from the First Circuit, these are cases that are, decided by conservative judges and mostly by Republican-appointed federal judges. And they're written in a way that, from a jurisprudential perspective, one could say is conservative. They're finding very straightforward discrimination against gay people and saying it's just not allowed under our Constitution. And so, it's coming to a court that's split, and we all know that, but the Supreme Court has an opportunity here to do something that's really not, it's really well within its role as part of the three branches of our government.
Why do you feel so positive about it? I mean, it is split, but we look at the health care thing and Roberts. I mean, why do you feel positive about it? Because
I feel positive about it for, in one respect, because I believe that we're going into this with four solid votes in our favor, mm-hmm. and that Justice Kennedy is probably will be the decider, and that Justice Kennedy is the author of the two seminal and really the only two gay rights cases that have come out of the Supreme Court recently, the Texas sodomy case and the Colorado ballot initiative case. And his role on the court is so important when it comes to gay rights, because he's been able to straddle a conservative tradition in his jurisprudence with a very, no-nonsense approach. And I think he's going to see an opportunity here to bring together, both parts of his judicial philosophy and just write a very clear, straightforward decision. It may not happen this time, but I'm fairly optimistic.
Okay,
it is going to happen soon. If it doesn't happen with this case, it's going to happen soon.
And now in the back of everyone's minds, including Judy and I talking before the program started, is what happens with this presidential election in the fall? What happens if Romney becomes the president? Talk about that.
Well, in immigration context particularly, the president has so much power over folks like Judy and Karen, how their lives proceed. Because the Immigration Service has to decide who to prioritize for deportation, and this administration is grappling with how to deal with couples like Judy and Karen. Do we deport the Karens of this world, so to speak, or do we allow them to stay here? A Romney administration may be hostile to gay and lesbian couples. He's certainly shown as a candidate that he's hostile to immigrants or to people whose status has lapsed or have unlawful status. So it could be scary to have a President Romney. The one thing, though, that I will say is that the president can't, by virtue of an election, change the court. And so we are, in one sense, on a moving sidewalk when it comes to the Supreme Court. And, the president clearly chooses who will be on the court when there are vacancies. But the on election day, the court will probably be the same as it was the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And the case that's coming, the Defense of Marriage Act case that's coming before this court, will likely be heard by these justices, barring some unforeseen calamitous event. But there's unlikely to be any replacements of the sitting justices.
And
so probably, for this very isolated purpose, the election doesn't matter in that sense. But it matters greatly to us, going 4 and 8 years ahead, because if President Obama is not reelected, this court will move decidedly to the right, and it's already a very conservative court, and we will have cemented on this court an anti-gay right-wing majority for probably 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's moved to the right gradually, and this would probably be the kicker. So it's something to be very concerned about. And if the Defense of Marriage Act survives one more year and survives a decision from this Supreme Court, and President Romney's in power, it's unlikely that he's going to put people on the court that are going to strike it down in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an election about which we should be very concerned.
It's a tense time.
Focused.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guests are attorney Leiby Soloway, leading the immigration fight for same-sex couples who are binational, and Judy Rickard, the author of Torn Apart, United by Love, Divided by Law, a book about binational couples facing discrimination. You can go to stopthedeportations.com for the latest on this crucial front in the fight for equality for same-sex couples. Also, immigrationequality.org and Out For with the letter, or rather the number, for outforimmigration.org. Judy, let's check in with you. You're listening to Leiby. Does this give you both hope and terror? What's your emotional state right now, just thinking about the future?
I love Leiby, and he keeps me feeling more optimistic about the future. I've broken down in front of him. I've broken down when he doesn't know it, because it's a fearful future for us, and it's a time that we would like to not have a fearful future. But I love the way that he strategizes and explains things and makes me feel like there is hope.
Well, it's changed a lot since you've begun your struggle, right?
Right, right.
Judy's in the country now with you.
No, Karen.
I mean, sorry, what did I say, Judy?
You said Judy.
Because I'm looking at you.
Oh, it's because I have a split personality. Right?
Pardon me, Karen.
Yeah.
Karen's with you now.
Karen's been here for about a year and a half now while we're trying to keep her here. First, Leiby applied for a visa extension, and that was denied. So then I moved into my civil disobedience role and filed for a marriage-based green card. And the paperwork was accepted, and Karen had her first appointment, and that's what they call the biometrics appointment. And they checked her security clearance or whatever, checked her background,
mm-hmm.
and issued her a work authorization card, which shocked all of us. And so now we're waiting for our next appointment, which would be the marriage interview. And our first appointment, Leiby asked for a postponement because he was on a deportation case. In a court in another state. And so now we're just waiting to hear when they're going to call us back. What we would like, the best thing would be if President Obama would sign an executive order and make this all go away. That would be heaven. The next best thing would be if U.S., Customs and Immigration Services would put our case and everybody else's in abeyance until something is, permanently decided for DOMA.
And then abeyance means?
Put it on hold, put it on
right.
the shelf. Don't issue Karen and all the rest of the spouses the no answer. Just sit until we see what the law is going to do.
So the green card petitions, back to you, Leiby. The green card petitions are sort of the way through right now for many people in this situation.
That's right. And, not everybody is, in a position of, like Judy and Karen. It does take an emotional toll, and you really have to be equipped to do some self-advocacy, and it's not without any risk. A changed administration could mean deportation policies change. But the couples that have participated and done this have, Judy just called it civil disobedience, and I smile because I feel that it's so much not about disobedience for me, because I feel like the law and the Constitution dictate that you know, we're all equal. And the immigration law dictates that spouses should be together and not separated. And so really the act, it's a bold act. It's an act of affirmance. It's what I call assumptive equality. Just you assume you're equal and let someone else tell you otherwise.
Okay.
And it's, and
I like that.
And yeah, and that's what we're going in there to do. And as you noted earlier, we are chipping away because we're forcing an immigration office in San Jose or an immigration office in Albany, New York, to sit down with a gay couple and look at them eye to eye and talk to them about their finances and their cohabitation and their life together and make a record that this is a real marriage. And today those cases can't be approved, but we never had those interviews before, and we're starting to have them. We didn't have those conversations before, and we're starting to have them. If we don't step up, if we sit back and wait for something to happen, then I think we're making a mistake. We're treating our own civil rights as a spectator sport.
Yeah.
And I think you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to get in there.
There's so much heartache and stress and so much damage that this discriminatory policy has caused for so many same-sex couples who are binational. You know, when you're straight, you can fall in love and bring somebody into the country so easily. Not so much here. You can't. Well, we're fudging here. We're stalling. We're doing these things. You're doing these things. But there's so much suffering and so much duress. And I'm just wondering if that, if those negatives are part of what drives you, if part of what feeds you, both of you, Judy and Levy, feeds you to keep fighting, even though it's rather daunting, I suppose, at some point, and rather scary. What if it doesn't work? What if we get Romney? What if the court switches? What if the, you know, all these what ifs? You know, fear is the mind killer, that right. Somebody, the person who wrote the book Dune said in the book Dune, fear is the mind killer. And I always think of that, but fear is real. We do feel it. And yet the courage,
but you can't let it stop you. You can't let it stop you.
And Levy, is that part of your motivation? Just the injustice or, you know, your clients are suffering. You're seeing their pain.
Yeah. I mean, it's intolerable to me to hear a story about what Karen went through when she was stopped at the airport and kept in a room and interrogated after a 12-hour flight from the UK and not even given water, treated like a criminal. I hear that story repeated over and over. I hear people taken away and put in detention facilities. About a quarter of all the binational same-sex couples in the United States are raising children together and without the certainty that both parents will even be there when the kids wake up in the morning. This is really tough stuff. This is heartbreaking stuff, and it also make me angry. And I don't think that any of us can stand by and allow it to happen. I think that we have a wonderful president who's done a lot for our community, but that he can do more on this specific issue. He can make sure that Judy and Karen can go to sleep at night feeling secure about their future, even if all the pieces of the puzzle aren't in place. He can make sure that no binational couples are separated and many thousands of gay and lesbian Americans don't ever see their partners or their spouses because they can't even get to the United States, or they're forced to self-deport, to expatriate themselves to other countries, to go find a country that will take them in.
Canada.
Only because they're gay.
Yeah.
So there are untold consequences to American families, not to just to LGBT families, to grandmothers who don't see their grandchildren, to people who don't see their children at Thanksgiving and Christmas every year, to communities that are missing somebody, and to businesses that aren't formed, and to careers that are, ended at what should be their peak because somebody has to leave the country. It's ridiculous. It's painful. It's not good for us as a society. And there is something that this administration can actually be doing to help. And putting the cases on hold would give couples like Judy and Karen security for the short term, legal, temporary kind of legal status. They're allowed to be here as long as their case is on hold, so it gives them that kind of bubble of protection. For some people, an employment authorization can be very important. It can be a way of getting a driver's license. They can get to and from places and not feel like you're jailed in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can be treated like everybody else and to start to live their lives without that burden. You can't measure the emotional cost of this policy, but every single couple can tell stories like this. And you asked me earlier where I get my motivation, and I should mention that I came to the United States more than 20 years ago as a student from Canada, And I was half of a binational couple when I became a lawyer and started to get involved in LGBT rights. And, you know, I can't ever forget my own experience. And I do feel that I have a privilege of working with couples like Judy and Karen, and an opportunity. And it's not one that I feel like I can pass up. I feel like I have an opportunity to bring about change, and so I keep doing it.
President Obama shifted and shifted as our consciousness even in this country has expanded? I mean, he came out in favor of same-sex marriage, and that's got to be based on some numbers. And I'm just wondering if, in the course of his almost 4 years now, 3.5 years in office, if he has expanded and shifted in this direction that you're suggesting.
He has. I mean, the administration has been grappling with a number of issues that have a lot of overlap. When it comes to immigration issues, there are some things that the administration's in a unique position to be able to do to help move us forward when Congress doesn't act. And you saw them do that recently with the DREAM actors, the young students.
Yes.
And when it comes to LGBT issues, they've taken so many steps that they're almost impossible to list. But if you think about things like hospital visitation, this administration has made it illegal for a hospital that takes federal funding to bar a same-sex partner from access. They've been very creative. They've thought of ways, even in respect to the Defense of Marriage Act and their federal litigation, they've thought of ways to try to get to the goal, which is to have it struck down. They've thought of ways to do that as quickly as possible. They've been really aggressive and really creative. So, and clearly, you know, his statement in May in support of same-sex marriage, the way that they're going about doing this is helping move the country. Today there was considerable polling, you know, aggregated that shows that we now have had a solid majority in support of marriage equality in this country for probably a year. It's up to about 54% in some polls. So he is doing the right things in that sense, and he is doing what a president should do, which is lead. But this is a very difficult issue. The consequences are irreparable in many respects. And if somebody is deported and their children are left behind, there's a problem there. And it's a problem that nobody should have to worry about.
I agree. Thank you. I've got to cut you off there. I'm sorry about that, Levy. Levy Solomon is my guest here on Out of the Bay. Soloway is my guest here on Out of the Bay. I'm going to stop you there. Judy, keep your faith.
I am.
Torn Apart, United by Love, Divided by Law is her book. Judy Rickard and Levy Soloway are my guests here. StopTheDeportations.com is his website. And check it out. Please give your support and tune in to see what happens as we go forward in these next few months here in the United States. You've been listening to Out of the Bay. Thank you both for being here once again.
Thank you, Marilyn.
It's a weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. We want to thank two of the Bay Area organizations that supported Out of the Bay through last month's Pride Run, which was a lot of fun and a great success. Catherine Holland, a realtor in Coldwell Banker's Castro District office on Market Street. Well, she may be queer, but she'll get your deal straight. That's Catherine with a K, as in Catherine Hepburn, CatherineHolland.com. And Kaiser Permanente, live well, be well, thrive, Kaiser Permanente. Info online at kp.org. Our show streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7 p.m. Excuse me. And then we, excuse me. Oh, I'm here. We archive our show. Hey, it's live. We archive our shows for podcasting and on-demand listening at outinthebay.com. And now we're on your phone. Just go to outinthebay.com and download the Stitcher app. We've been on the air for 7 years now, and we'd like your support. Go to outinthebay.com. Hit that Donate Now button. Keep us on the air. Thanks to WY Enterprises for our website. They help you manage your life and your office, wyenterprises.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW. Our engineer is Joanne Marr. Thanks, Joanne. Out of the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.